Good morning and welcome. There's no place like home. I want you to think about that for just a moment this morning. When I was in another life, when I was a project manager in construction, there were many times where I'd have to go away on business. I'd have to go and inspect a job, and so I'd have to. We were all over the United States, so I would travel there, and then I'd stay in a hotel. And it didn't matter how nice that hotel was, I always wanted to come home. Because, especially at that time, it was, you know, Carla, and at that time it was just Grant. We didn't have the girls yet. But they weren't there with me. And so it was as if I was just a stranger there. Just sort of hanging out at the hotel, but I was waiting until I could get on that plane and go home. Peter talks about that idea of being a stranger. He says in 2 Peter that we are strangers and aliens in this world. That we really, that this world is just our hotel that we're passing through. And the reason being is the one that we love, the one that we long to see, Jesus Christ, is not here. Sometimes, though, we fail to see ourselves as strangers. We don't have that longing for that place. We don't have that desire, maybe, to see Jesus as much as we should. We become content with living for things that are temporary rather than things that are eternal. So I want us to really focus this morning on that idea of, are we living towards heaven? Because many times we can live for the earthly. We can get so caught up in things that we make this home, or we make this place our home. But our one mission in life is to get to heaven and see Jesus. That's our goal. That's what this all is about. Is that time when we can say, I get to see Jesus. That's what matters. But this world distracts us. It's filled with distractions. Our jobs, our family, our homes, money problems, luxury items, whatever the case may be. All of these things distract us. And everything continues to go on just as it always has. So why wouldn't it continue to go on as it always has? Distractions pull us away from our mission. Not that any one of these things is wrong in and of themselves. But it can be that they hold us down and we become chained to them. And before we know it, we put the longing to see Jesus in the back of our minds and we begin living for the things of this world. I want to ask a question. Are we pursuing the American dream? People come to America all the time for that pursuit of the American dream. That this is a land of freedom that includes a promise of the possibility of prosperity and success. James Truslow Adams defined it in 1931. He says, life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with the opportunity for each according to ability or achievement. It's that promise that if we work hard, if you give it all you've got, you can attain whatever level of achievement or riches that you want. You just got to put in the work. And there's the possibilities here in this world, in this country. But we spend our time, all of our entire lives really, working for that dream, hoping that one day we'll realize it. Jesus warned about this very idea. In Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 through 21, he talks about a man. And this man had had prosperity in his fields, and he says, wow, look at this. He had worked hard. And he looked at all that he had, and he says, I got to build bigger barns for all that I've got. And so he built bigger barns, and then he got to that point, and he's like, I've arrived. I've got it now. I can eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus then says, but what's it going to profit you? Because your soul is required of you that night. Whose possessions will these things be now? He failed to look beyond this life and died a fool for only living for this life. Jesus says, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. As followers of Christ, the American dream cannot be our priority. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not trying to be un-American. I'm not trying to be, you know, say that's a terrible thing. Yes, we can pursue things in this life. But what I'm saying is, if that becomes our goal, our one goal, then I'm just going to live for this world, I'm going to get what I can, and then I'm going to enjoy it at the end. We've missed the point of what it means to be like Christ. We're strangers here in this life. We can't miss the reality of the other side. Joseph Stowell said it this way, when we begin to believe the reality of the other side, we start behaving differently on this side. That when we truly see what this life is all about, that it's not just live for a few years and enjoy it while you can because then it's just over, that there's something else, there's something on the other side, my life changes here. I begin to live differently than everyone else around me. Paul says that we should be living eternally. If you would, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And really, we're going to look at verses 12 through 21. Paul has already said in the first part of chapter 3, he said, I've been a Jew of Jews, I've been a Hebrew of Hebrews. I've had all of these things. But he says, I've counted them as rubbish for the sake of Christ, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's what he's going for. But then he comes to that point, and he says there in verse 12, not that I've already obtained it, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul's telling us here that we need to look ahead. We need to look forward to something more. He tells us there that his one goal is to see Jesus. That's what Paul wanted, more than anything else. That was what his drive was all about. And he says this, one thing I do. So if you go through that verses 13 and 14 and you take out all the prepositions, what you come down to is one thing I do. And he tells us what that thing is then in verse 14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul was all about. That's why his whole life was focused on that moment when he would see Jesus. So he simplified his life to one thing: going towards that goal. Everything that he did then was connected to that one purpose in getting him to the point of being able to see Jesus. Is that us? Do we even think about that moment every day? I can assure you, when I was away living in that hotel for that week, I was thinking every day about Carla and Grant and getting back home to them. Do we think about that every day? Do we think about what it's going to be like to be with Jesus? Or do we let all of the things of this world just come in and push that thought out of our minds? Paul describes this pressing on, this journey that we're on, as a race. And he really says two things are involved in this pressing on. He says that it's about stretching forward with our all in this race. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." That reaching forward means to stretch forth. It's picture in your mind those who are in running a race, and they're just about at the finish line. What do they typically do when the little tape is drawn across the way? They stretch their bodies forward. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying, I'm stretching forward to what's in front of me. I'm stretching forth towards that goal of heaven, because he hasn't finished yet. So he gives it all that he has. Does that describe your Christian walk? Do you get up every morning and give it all that you have? Because that's the most important thing in your life. That today, it could be your last. Are you going to see Jesus or not? That's what Paul could say, I believe, with confidence, that I'm going to do everything I can this day so that I can see Jesus. But not only did he look forward, he tells us that we can't look behind. Paul didn't look back. He didn't want to get distracted by the things that were behind him. One of the things that you have to be careful of, from what I understand, I'm not a runner, but from what I understand about it, is if you look behind too long, you can slow down. And it's usually when you look behind is when you get past. And Paul's saying, I don't want to be distracted by anything, because I'm focused on Jesus. And so Jesus even warns us about looking back. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, he gives multiple examples, or he says multiple statements here, of the warning about what it really means to follow Jesus. And I just want to look at verse 62 there. He says, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, I'll be honest, if we just said that today in our popular culture, that doesn't go over well. Jesus is saying some harsh words here. He's saying, if you really want to be in my kingdom, then I need total self-denial. I need you to give up everything, and I need to be the number one priority. Because what he says here is, if you're going to put your hands to the plow, if you're really going to work for me, he says, I don't want anybody who's looking back. I don't want anybody who's saying, well, yeah, I'm going to be there for you, Jesus, but, oh, man, all of those things that I still like them. I still want them. I still want them to be my priority. Jesus says, if that is you, you're not fit for my kingdom. Those are some harsh words. He says that because he knows there are going to be things in this world that distract us. There are things in this world that, let's just face it, we like. Things that if we hold on to them, we begin to start making this place home. But see, the moment that we begin to look back is the moment when we begin to lose the race. Our goal is to constantly be looking forward to that moment when we see Jesus. That our total life is spent preparing for that moment, looking for that reward. How many of us think and live that way? You see, if we're distracted with our thoughts and our actions upon the things of this world, we can't focus on what Jesus has in store for us. As Christians, we are to think and act based upon our future, not our past. You see, what we do now affects our future. That by our actions, we are either storing up treasures in heaven or we are storing up treasures here on earth. The question for all of us is, when we see Jesus, will our actions that we do here on this earth, will they be counted as a reward for us? Or will they be counted as a regret? That when we see Jesus, we say, look, Lord, I've been preparing for you every single day. I'm ready. Or will we say, Lord, I just sort of got attached. And I really liked where I was. And I'm not ready for you. Let me illustrate it in this way. I've got this rope here. And Spence, could you help me out real quick here? Could you just take the end of that rope and just go as far until it stretches out? All right, that's good. I wish I had a longer rope. You can drop it there. Thanks. But I want you to imagine that this rope is your life. It starts here, and it just goes. And it doesn't really have an end. But I've taped off the first part of this rope. And hopefully in the back you can see it. I got some blue tape here. And this blue tape represents our time on this earth. Now here's what happens to most of us. We spend this time worrying about what's going to happen just on the blue tape. Now, Jesus tells us that what we do here determines our whole eternity. But here's what happens. Most of the time, we get about right here, and we start focusing on, oh, I got to get ready for retirement. I got to get my 401k in order. I need a bigger boat. I need a bigger house. I need this. I need that. And here's the problem. We get so focused, not even on the whole blue tape, we get focused on just the last little bit. Because what we want to do is we want to get it all that we can while we're working to where we can get to that point where we can go, oh, I can just relax now. And we fail to see that our life continues to go on and on and on. But what are we doing? We're getting so tangled up in just the last little bit of the blue tape. Is that you? I'll be honest. That's me a lot of times. But Jesus says, look, your life goes on and it doesn't end. It just keeps going. So the question is, what are we doing? Are we living just for the blue tape? Or do we realize that what we do now affects all of eternity? You see, Paul tells us to imitate him. Notice with me there in verse 17. Paul says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Paul tells us here, he says, "I want you to imitate me." He's not bragging here. He's not saying, "Look at who I am, look at me." He's saying, "No, I want you to look at me, because as I am doing, I'm seeking to follow Christ. I'm seeking to imitate Christ." What he says is, don't look just at me, but also look at those around you who follow the same pattern. That word there is, when he says look, means to mark or to take aim. He's saying, I want you to see those who are living eternally, because they're going to help you focus on the goal. They're going to help you get to where you want to be. But he also says that there are some who will be enemies of the cross. That many profess to live for Christ, but the reality is that their walk shows that they don't live for him. And Paul doesn't mince words here. Paul says, these are enemies of the cross. Meaning that they are completely against what Jesus did on the cross. His sacrifice on the cross. Here are these people, and they are against that. Maybe not openly saying that, but what Paul's saying here is, by their actions, they're enemies of the cross. Paul says that weeping. I was reading something the other day, and the person said, "You know, I don't think Paul wept when he was beaten or scourged. I don't think Paul wept when he was shipwrecked. But here is Paul weeping. Why? Because here are these people who are enemies of the cross of Christ." And I think what he's saying there, there are some within the kingdom who think they're living for God, but they're enemies. Because he says, their God is their appetite, their desires. It's the idea of whatever I want, I'm going to get. That they never really think, what does God want me to do? They put themselves, whether they know it or not, as their own God. They say, you know what, I'm going to worship the way I want to worship. It's about me, God, not you. Just ask, how many of us in here this morning are enemies of the cross of Christ? Paul doesn't leave us there, though. Because resoundingly he says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is not here. We're strangers here, but home is with Jesus. That's where we belong. What Paul is saying here is, I'm eagerly waiting for that day when I see Jesus. Are you eagerly waiting for him? Almost that you're just filled with such anticipation that you just can't wait. Sometimes that's easy to do, maybe for a moment. Maybe that's easy to do for a day. But every one of those distractions of this world keep coming back upon us. And we lose focus. Paul's saying, don't lose focus. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. That's our prize for stretching forward. You see, this life is all about focus. If I focus on earthly things, the temporary things, the things that distract, they'll take away from that which is important. And if I get so focused on all the things of this earth, that I get so focused on living for just the last few years of that blue tape, then I've missed it all. And I've become an enemy of the cross. But we can live every day with that anticipation. God helps us in doing that. He doesn't leave us alone. He says, you can long for him. You can long to see Jesus. We can live eternally. As we end, I want to just ask two questions. What did you do this past week that matters in light of eternity? And the second question, what did you do this past week that will not matter in eternity? I want you to just think about that. And maybe it is that you need to make some changes. Maybe you've gotten caught up in this world and all the distractions. Maybe you've never seen Jesus through his word, and you're not a child of God. God's calling you. He's saying, I've got something so much better for you than holding on to all these temporary things. But we've got to give up self. Think about that. One of our shepherds is going to come down here. He'll be here through the Bible class hour. If you just want to pray with him, if you want to become a child of God, that's available to you. Think about these things as together we stand and sing.